Today is Father's Day, if you've not already noticed that. I got my card and I got to go out to eat last night, and so I'm already Father Day up, but I'm looking forward to the rest of the day, so it's a great thing. One son said that Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much on the present. That's true at my house. I'm sure most of you have heard about another father who's trying to be helpful when his wife had the flu. Each morning he penned a note to her pillow and before he left for work, and on Monday the note read, "Dearest, sleep late, everything is under control. Lunch is packed, kids off to school, menu for the dinner planned. Your lunch is on a tray in the refrigerator, fruit cup and finger sandwiches. Thermos of hot tea by your bedside. See you around 6 p.m. Tuesday, he wrote, "Honey, sorry about the egg rack in the refrigerator. Hope you got back to sleep. Did the kids tell you about the Coke I put in the thermoses? The school might call you on this. Dinner may be a little bit late, but I'm doing a door-to-door canvas for liver research. Your lunch is in the refrigerator. Hope you like leftover chili." Wednesday, it's, "Dear Doris, why in the name of all that is sane would you put soap powder in the flour canister? If you have time, could you please come up with a likely spot for Chris's missing shoes? We've checked the clothes hamper, garage, backseat of the car, and the wood box. Do you know the school has a ruling on bedroom slippers? There's some cold pizza for you on the napkin in the oven drawer. We'll be late tonight driving 8 Girl Scouts to tour meatpacking plant." Thursday, "Doris, don't panic over the water in the hallway. It crested last night about 9 p.m. I'll finish the laundry tonight. Please pencil in the answers to the following. How do you turn on the garbage disposal? How do you remove an anti-school inked tattoo on the palm of a small boy's hand? What do you do with leftovers when they begin to look funny? Do you know what you're having for lunch? Surprise me." By Friday, said, "Don't drink from the pitcher by the sink. I'm trying to restore a pink dress shirt to original white. Take heart. Tonight the ironing will be folded, the house cleaned, and dinner will be on time. I called your mother." I'll tell you, we take a lot of ribbing on Father's Day, don't we? But these are a few tidbits in the life of a father today. If able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word as we think about some other father in the Bible? Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. "And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." May God his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. We don't have much insight on what daily things took place in the life of our biblical character Enoch. We don't even know about the daily grind he may have experienced at work. We don't even know the frustrations that may have been present in his life throughout his 365 years in raising his family and going to work in the everyday work life. But even in the glimpse that is given in Scripture, we know some very important things about this man, Enoch, that I think we can apply to us today, whether you're a father, a mother, or just a Christian trying to live that godly life. Enoch was known as one of the patriarchs before the flood. He was the son of Jared and the father of Methuselah. You probably have heard the saying, "He's as old as Methuselah." That comes from the Scripture. Methuselah was the oldest person living in the Bible, 969 years. Enoch was his father. Enoch was seventh in descent from Adam in the line of Seth and lived before Noah. In fact, he was the grandfather to Noah. As we consider this Father's Day, I want us to ask some questions about what's so significant about this man, Enoch. Well, first of all, we know from Scripture that Enoch walked with God. In chapter 5 of Genesis, the genealogy reads much the same for everyone. It tells how many years they lived, who became the father of whom, and how old they were when they died. But in Enoch's record, there was a paraphrase, there was a sudden stop almost, and it was included in there that when Enoch had lived 65 years, listen, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. There must have been some life-changing experience in his life that after he had a son that he decided, "I need to walk with God." And so it says in Scripture that Enoch, after he was the father of Methuselah, began to walk with life. In his earlier life, no mention was made concerning the spiritual side of his life. Maybe it was not really important to him. He may have just been indifferent to it. He may have been living for something else. He may have even been living without much thought of God. At any rate, religion is not mentioned in the early part of his life. Looking back at your own life, we might also say something like that about ours. There may have been a time in our life where faith and Christ and the church and all the things that are important to us today might not have been as important. You just lived your life year after year without much thought of the need for God. But at some point in our lives, we are confronted with our need for something or someone bigger than ourselves and more powerful than we are. We are made aware of our inability to handle everything on our own. Some people experience crises. Some experience wake-up calls, bringing them to a decision about their faith. For some, it is a change in their life situation, maybe the impact of a family member. Think back on what it was like when you did not have God in your life, when someone had not changed, when they had not introduced you to Christ, where you did not have an interest in church. Think back on that. The turning point for Enoch appears to be when he became a father. For the Scripture says, and after he became the father, he walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. It doesn't indicate that the times for raising a family were any better than they are in our time. Enoch walked with God and with ungodly surroundings. In fact, we know this from chapter 6. If you flip over to chapter 6 in Genesis, you'll see where it reads in verse 6, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil at the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on this earth, and his heart was filled with pain." In fact, if it had not been for Enoch's grandson, Noah, who lived a godly life, God would have erased all of us and every living thing from the earth, because it said he had great pain in his heart. But because of the influence of Enoch on his grandson Noah, who lived a godly life, we were all saved. And the righteous lived the influence of this man. Enoch was raising his family in a secular world, and yet he did it successfully, I believe, because the Bible says he walked with God. Now, walking with God was Enoch's lifestyle. It wasn't just a mere occasion or once in a while or a seasonal thing. We might ask, what does it mean to walk with God? I think you could say that it becomes your lifestyle. It's not just walking before God with a sense of respect and awe about something greater than we are. It's not even being a member of a church. You see, walking with God indicates that you have a close relationship with God in your daily life, where you work, where you live, around your children, around your neighbors, in the community, where you serve. People will know you because you walk with God. We find that he did not break away and run ahead thinking that he knew better than God, but instead Enoch walked with God. He didn't lag behind and complain that he was being mistreated or he didn't have everything that he needed. He didn't live like being a Christian was a great chore. He saw his walk with God as both honor and one filled with responsibility. I wonder sometimes, as human beings, how we can really make good decisions if we are trying to do things on our own. Enoch walked with God in the ordinary things of life, not in the great super spiritual things where the rubber hits the road. In a secular world where wickedness abound, godlessness was everywhere, somehow this man walked with God and managed to leave a legacy of his children and those around him, that there was a God who is able and one that wants to give you abundant life, a fulfilled life. Matthew Henry says that some think that high attainment and religion are inconsistent with the cares and perplexities unavoidably connected with the active life. The cloister and convent is not the only place where devotion is beheld. Spirituality does not only flourish in the solitude of a desert or as a recluse. These are mighty fancy words from Matthew Henry, but what he really means to say here is that God expects all believers to live their Christian lives in all of our activities, social and work, pleasure, business, and even in our communities as leaders. It's important to expose the God in us in all places at all times. And Enoch proved that this brought favor from God. He walked with God in his everyday life and discussed the daily concerns as he went along. You know, we can learn to do the same thing today. You may tell God about the problems you're having at your job, in your marriage, with your family, in the community, with your kids, your finances, your health. You see, God is the only consistently reliable resource we have. He is the constant. However, we have to walk with him daily to be able to understand his voice. We have to learn his voice. The sheep need to hear his voice, and they can hear his voice. Out of 100 shepherds, a sheep that follows a certain shepherd knows his voice among the other voices. And this is the kind of image we can have before a holy God. As we walk with God, we can learn to understand and hear his voice in us, that we know. That we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is speaking to us and guiding us. Scripture tells us all the time, or in this particular passage, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You see, God desires your conversation. God desires your questions. God even desires your doubts. You can come to God anytime, just like you are. You might say, I just don't know how to get in contact with God. I just can't make sense out of it all. I'm not really sure I understand all this religious stuff. I really don't know how to experience God. Well, the answer is, walk with him. Listen to him. Study his word. Understand him. I will tell you, the answer is in your behavior. Walk with God. And what does it mean to walk with God? It means taking the first step. You see, when you begin a walk, I don't know how many of you ever started walking for exercise, but I didn't start sitting on the couch. In order to start exercising, I had to get up and take that first step and succeeding steps afterwards. And that's the way it is with walking with God. We really have to say, Lord, the first step is I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to experience you in my life like I see in these other people that seem to have a handle on life's issues and challenges that come our way. You see, it means taking the first step. God has provided an introduction and connection to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bridge or the link for us today. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, first you must come to the place where you recognize your need for God. Then you need to call on him to forgive you of your sins and for him to come into your life. For the scripture says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, that is taking the first step, responding and calling on his name. And then from that time on, continue walking in the Spirit. Yes, I mean accepting Christ as your Savior and allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to be able to walk in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to help you, to give you the words to speak, the wisdom that you need to be different, to be called out, to be a people of God in a secular and godless world, so that we might share light not only with our family and our children, but our neighbors and the people that we work with and in our community. It is a great privilege and honor to witness the power of God working in a human life. Colossians 2:6 tells us, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And you can walk in Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to control your behavior and influence your decisions. I want to pause here for a moment and tell you and speak to men just for a moment. Men, I want to tell you that there are three things that are breaking up homes and breaking up witnesses and everything else in life today. The first one is anger. We find that throughout the homes in America, there is this idea of power and control, where men not only show their strength, which they should, to be strong men, but to over and intimidate and make people angry in your home and demonstrate that kind of anger is not of God, and that's not walking with God. We men must get self-control. We must have that self-control and ask the Spirit to help us to respond in a way that is not angry and makes people feel afraid and intimidated or demeaned. Anger is a great problem in the American home, and especially with men across America. It is one of the big problems that we have in counseling, anger management courses, anger things, anger, anger, anger. I'm so angry at anger because of what it has done to the American family and to individuals. It has distorted and destroyed and created doubt to where people's self-image and their self-respect has been reduced to nearly nothing. And we men, we need to understand that anger is not of God. There is a righteous anger, but it is not in our families, it's not in our neighbors, it's not in our community. It is self-control that we need. And God can give it to us if we learn to walk in the Spirit. A second thing that plagues American homes today and marriages in every walk of life, in every place, in every hill and climb is pornography. We have people that are allowing pornography to come right into their home. And they're doing it, and their spouses and everybody else around them know it. Pornography is one that demeans people. It demeans you. It breaks down your relationship. I know time after time as I've come back off deployment, I've had women in my office saying, "Chaplain, chaplain, my husband, I don't know what's happened to him. He wants me to do things I've never seen or understand," because they were watching pornography on their deployment. And I want to tell you, husbands, wives, don't turn tricks. They're to be respected and to be lifted up. And this idea of pornography in America has gotten to be epidemic. And I want to tell you, men, that if you are hooked on it, that God can help you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll deliver you, because it's ripping those that you love apart. I know many, many who have been torn apart by this, and I will tell you that I don't know of many people in America, especially many men, who have not cast their eye upon that. We need to pray for our men that God would help us. The third thing that I think that really has demeaned our families and hurt our families is the absence of fathers. Men who have married, had children, and then decided they want somebody else, or they want to get out of marriage, or they don't want to be a father. I will tell you, God wants us to be people who walk with Him. He wants us to learn to depend on Him, to hear His voice, to gain strength from His Spirit. I've quoted, and I'll continue to quote, that scripture that says, "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." It's a struggle. It's hard. It's difficult to be a man of God. But God is calling us to stand up, to leave a legacy of righteousness, to leave a legacy of goodness, to leave a legacy of building people up and living our lives before Him. The reason I've mentioned all these things is because here is the last thing I want to share with you today. It's the outcome of Enoch's walk. You see, how did God feel about the life that Enoch was living? Did it matter one way or another how he lived his life? Well, I think Scripture gives that answer in Hebrews, the great, great faith chapter in Hebrews 11, verse 5, talking about Enoch. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. We all like to be commended by people rather than condemned over the failures. But how much better is it to be commended by God? Not only was Enoch's life enriched by walking in close relationship with God, and not only did his family receive the knowledge and guidance about how to live their lives in the right way, but Enoch's influence reached out to the other people who were living around him in community. Why do I know that? Because Jude 14 tells us that Enoch warned people of the judgment of God. From Scripture, I assume that Enoch was able to influence many people for God during the years that he lived. And God desires the same of us. Our walk with God should influence others. Our walk with God should be an example to our families. I want to tell you that I have a grandmother who is known all over her county and the surrounding counties as a woman who walked with God. I have a friend who tells me about his relationship with his father, who was a godly man, and says, I don't know anything about God except I saw it in my father. I don't know about you, but this is the legacy that I want to live. This is the legacy that I want in my life. Our Christian influence, whether a man or a woman, should be evident in our immediate families. They will know we are Christians by our walk. Knowing that we are walking with God each day gives our children security. It gives them an example that will help them in life. Christians are different, and we can demonstrate that difference if we work and live in the Spirit of God. Enoch claimed it a great honor to walk with God, but he also knew that it was a great responsibility because people are watching us. We know that he was successful because in verse 24 it says that God took him. You see, Enoch did not die. He's one of two men in the Bible that did not die. God took him because of his favor upon him. The other was Elijah. I would just tell you in concluding that Father's Day comes just once a year, that walking with God is a daily experience. Today we can begin that walk as well as recommit ourselves to a walk with God. I have an invitation this morning. First of all, that if you really don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know what that walk is, I invite you this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation that you come. Would you take me by the hand and say, I want to walk with God. And I'll pray a prayer with you. Maybe you're not a member of a church. I hope that you have felt our fellowship, and I hope you understand our commitment to missions. And there is a place for you, and we'd love for you to come and join our church. And it's in the bulletin about how you do that. You come forward at the invitation time. Take me by the hand. You come by statement of faith that you've already been baptized by immersion. You're a Christian, and we would love to receive you as a member of our church. Maybe you need to be baptized by immersion. We'll do that, and you can become a member of our church. Any way that you want to come, we want you to come and be a part of our fellowship here and enjoy that. And lastly, I want to tell you, one of the convictions of my heart has been for some months is that we do not have a men's group in this church. We have men that work, we have men that do missions, but we don't have a men's group where we meet together and help one another and pray together and support one another in our responsibilities, men in our church, in our families, and in our community. And this morning, as we sing this hymn of invitation, I invite you men to come forward with me and stand that we will begin a men's ministry meeting once a month, once every other month, or meeting regularly so that we can take a stand and be people of God and that we know that our children will say, my father walks with God. And I want to invite you as we sing our hymn of invitation today, you come as God leads you. Our hymn today is 544, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. You stand and sing and you come, men. I invite you and challenge you. Come forward and take my hand and pray with me.